your Bibles and follow along together as we study from the Word of God. Appreciate your presence tonight, and especially at our visitors, we welcome you and encourage you to come back and be with us when the opportunity may arise. Tonight I want us to think about a lesson that just has to do basically with the idea of the church and the fact that as most of us sit here, we are a part of the church, and therefore that indicates that we have certain responsibilities. As you think about it, at the time of our conversion, as we came to Jesus Christ, we were added, as it were, to the church. And we find that the church is made up of people. It is made up of individuals who are striving to serve God. I want you to understand that as we're talking about the church tonight, we're not talking about a local group such as the one who meets here at Pepper Road. Some of the things that we'll say will be applicable in that instance. But we're talking about the body of Jesus Christ. That is the scenario that I want us to look at as we picture the church tonight. That is the thing to which we are added. I want us to begin in Acts chapter 2, and I want you to read with me verse 47. As we go back to the day of Pentecost, what we see in Acts chapter 2, verse 47, is what happened to those people as they came to Jesus Christ on that day, and we see what they were added to. And you've got to remember, at this point, there was no local body of Christians. Now, soon after this, there was a group in Jerusalem, but at this point, they're added to something, and what we find them added to is the body of Jesus Christ. As you look at verse 38, Peter instructs them what they need to do. As you go on down in verse 40, he says, "With many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, 'Be saved from this perverse generation.'" And it says, "Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them." Look at verse 47. It talks about some of the things they were doing, and then it says, "Praising God and having favor with all the people." Listen to this. "And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved." And so what we're looking at is the idea that we are added to the same body, the same group that those people all the way back on the day of Pentecost were added to. The very same thing to which the first century Christians were added. The church is described for us as the body of Jesus Christ. It is pictured in that way in a number of different places, and that's what I want you to focus on with me tonight. First of all, go to Colossians chapter 1. In Colossians chapter 1, we're going to look at verse 24, and we see this picture given to us as the body of Jesus Christ being the church. As you look at Colossians chapter 1, read with me if you would verse 24. Paul is writing to the church at Colossae, and he says this to them. Colossians chapter 1, verse 24. He says, "I now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of his body, which is the church." As you turn back just a few pages, go to the book of Ephesians and go with me to chapter 1 of the book of Ephesians. As you look at Ephesians chapter 1, we're going to read verses 22 and 23. Again, we see a similar description, this time to the church at Ephesus. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22, it says, "And he put all things under his feet and gave him," talking about Christ, "to be head over all things to the church, which is his body," Christ's body, "the fullness of him who fills all in all." And so as we look at ourselves, as we have come to Christ and as we've been baptized, we have been added to the church. And so we are a part of the body of Christ. And the question is, as we consider that, what does that mean? And there are a number of things I want you to think about with me tonight as we study this idea. As we consider the church as the body of Christ, the first thing to understand is that Christ is the head. As you go back to Colossians chapter 1, and we look at verse 18. You see that he is the head of the body. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 18, it says, "He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence." And so as we begin to picture this body, what we picture is a body in which Christ serves as the head. He is the one who gives direction, and he is the one who provides for us the things that we need. As we consider the idea that he is the one who provides us direction, we get the idea that he gives down instruction. As he is the head of the body, he passes down the directions or the instructions as to what the body is to do. He directs it. He has the preeminence. The things that happen within the body are controlled by him and are going to be directed, as it were, by him. Now, this is not a difficult concept, I don't think, for us to understand. As we consider the physical body, The thing that happens before any part of the body does anything is instruction is given to it by the head in order for it to function. And so as we consider, I want to go to whatever particular place, the head sets in motion the members of the body in order for it to function in a way that will lead it to what the head has decided for it to do. And so as we consider a part of our body that moves, it is the head that directs it to move. And it is the head that does it. And if we look at this body and something begins to work out of control of the head, we find a very difficult and treacherous sort of a situation. And if it is separated, if some member of the body is separated from control of the head, we find it is a member that ceases to function. And so as we look at the physical body, we understand that type of a concept. As we consider the church as the body of Christ, we see the same thing. The instructions come down from Christ. He gives us direction, and then we must in turn accept it. As we look at what God has instructed us to do, as we look at Christ as the head, as He serves as the head of the body, and as He instructs us, we see what we need to do. And now it's up to us to accept the instruction. The way He has instructed us is through His Word. He has given us direction so that we can read and we can study and we can understand. And so as we look into the New Testament, we begin to see what the church did as we look at that very first century, at the things that they did from the beginning. And we look at the teachings that have been handed down to us as written and guided by the Holy Spirit. And we examine those things and we seek to understand what the head desires for the body to do. And so we put those things into place. We look at the instructions that have been given. We look at the examples that have been left for us to follow. And we find out what we are to do as members of the body of Jesus Christ. If we begin to look in other places, we don't find proper instruction. We can look into the writings of men and we can examine them and we can dwell on them, but it's not necessarily instruction coming from the head. We can look at men's ideas and what they would have us to do and the direction that they might lead us in, but that's not instruction that's coming from the head. The only place that we find instruction coming from the head of the body, which is Jesus Christ, is through the Word of God. And so as we examine it, and as we look into it, then we find out what the head is instructing us to do as we serve together as members of the body of Jesus Christ. One of the things that we see going on around us in so many different denominations who would claim to have Christ as their head is they're not following the direction that is coming from Him. They may follow the direction of some man as he has written it down. Or they may follow the direction of some feeling that they receive and say, well, this feeling is so good, I just feel like that's what I need to do. But the bottom line is this. If the instruction doesn't come from the head, if it doesn't come from the Word of God, which is the way He guides us, then it is instruction that needs to be cast aside. And whether it's coming from some man that we may have unbelievable confidence in as someone who's trying to do what's right, or whether it comes from some book or some commentary or whatever it may be, if it is instruction that is contrary to the instruction received through the Word of God, it is improper direction. And so we must be careful. And so as we understand that Christ is the head, we look into His Word and we determine what He would have us to do. And then we very strictly adhere to that. Because if we are moving in a different direction than is instructed by the head, we find ourselves receiving direction from an improper source. The church acts as it is directed by the head, Jesus Christ. The second thing I want to point out to you is the idea that we are all members of that body. We find ourselves as members of the body of Christ. Each of us individually find ourselves in that capacity. And with that comes responsibility. One of the things that we begin to see as we look into God's Word is the idea that each member of the body plays a significant role in that body. We all are going to play a part in the functioning of the body of Jesus Christ. Christ serves as the head. We've established that. We serve as members of that body and function under Him. I want you to turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we're going to begin reading in verse 12, and it's a fairly lengthy reading, so I want you to turn there with me and follow along as we read this together. But the idea that is presented here is that here we are members of one body. We all function in a different capacity, as it were. But the point that is being made is that each member plays a significant part, no matter how seemingly small or great that may be. In 1 Corinthians 12, as we begin reading in verse 12, we see Paul writing to the church at Corinth, and this is what he says to them. He says, "For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greek, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, 'Because I am not a hand, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, 'Because I am not an eye, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as He pleased. And if they are all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, 'I have no need of you,' nor can the head say to the feet, 'I have no need of you.' No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor. And our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and members individually." Did you see the relationship that he's picturing for us as we find ourselves as members of the body of Christ? If you're a member of the body of Christ, which those of us who have been baptized into Christ are members of that body, we find ourselves with a part to play in the body. And no matter how insignificant you may feel that role is, it is an important part of the body. He makes interesting points here as we go through it. And again, he relates it to a physical body. He says, here you are. And I don't remember the exact thing he uses, but this is something similar. Can the nose say to the feet, "I don't have any need of you"? Well, that's ridiculous. Can the nose, as it smells, say, "Well, I'm a lot more important than the feet, that all they do is just get him around"? That's not a very significant role. As we look at the physical body, we understand the fallacy of that. The feet are vitally important to the function of the body. The nose is vitally important to the function of the body. The hands are important to the function of the body, down to the smallest joint and the smallest piece of each of those members. They are vitally important. The point is this: we are members of the body of Jesus Christ. There is not a one of us sitting here who is more important than the other in that relationship. And just because one role may seem to be of greater significance than another does not mean that the body can effectively function without each member doing their part. Can we apply that to a local congregation? I would say we could. But it seems to me that the reference that is being made here is to the body of Christ, to the church, to the picture that we see as we go through the New Testament, as we describe Christ as the head of the body. And so we look at ourselves. And we say, "I have a part to play. I have a role to fill." May we realize the importance of those roles. And we see him giving examples of that in regards to the physical body. In light of that, we have a relationship with the head as he instructs us. But as members of the body, we find ourselves all related to each other. The idea is that we all are working together. The idea is that we are all working together in unity. We are striving towards the same end. We are striving towards the same goals. We are receiving from instruction from the same head, as it were. And it's interesting as we picture this to begin to think that as we consider the body, as we consider the head of the body, he is not going to give instruction to one member that would be harmful to another member. We function, as it were, together. The picture that is given to us in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, as we've just read that, is this. He says, if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is rejoicing, then all the members are rejoicing with that other member. Because we are all interconnected and interrelated as we are all receiving instruction from the head and we find ourselves all as part of the same body. It places upon us a tremendous and fearful responsibility as we function together. We can either pull together or we can pull apart. We can either function as a united team or we can function in such a way that we're basically tearing each other down or we're not working together towards the common goals that have been set for us as Christians and a part of the body of Jesus Christ. One of the things that I am afraid we see is that we see people who are members of the same body, part of the same team, whatever analogy you want to use, who are trying their very best to destroy other members of the body. That is ridiculous. That's not the way God intended it. And it's certainly not the way, as we consider even the basic function of our physical bodies, that we ever act if we're in any kind of normal state of mind. We don't try to do harm to our body. We strive to protect our body from harm. Why would it be any different in the cause of Jesus Christ? Why should we see one member attacking another member when we're all functioning in the same body? It just doesn't work. We find ourselves fighting against each other instead of pulling together as a united group of the people of God. And so we seek each other's best interest. We're directed by Jesus Christ. We seek the same goals and the same ends. We find ourselves as a vital part of the body of Christ, and we find ourselves interconnected as such. I want you to turn with me to Philippians chapter 2. This is a passage we read this morning, but it's also pertinent in regards to the lesson tonight. In Philippians chapter 2, as we begin in verse 1 and we read down through verse 4, we see how the body can function together and how this is going to work in order for us to function in a united sort of fashion. In Philippians chapter 2, beginning in verse 1, he says, "Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others." As we consider the body of Christ, as we see the members receiving instructions from the head and striving to carry out those instructions to the very best of our ability, therefore we seek to function together under Him and only under Him. And as we do that, we work together, we pull together, we function together as a united group of people. Not in some kind of a selfish thing as a member saying, "Well, I'm more important than you," or "My role is more significant than yours," but rather seeking to accomplish the end that Jesus Christ has laid out for His body, which is the church. And so we find ourselves united together in the body of Christ. We each have a function. We each play a part. And each one of those parts is vitally significant. And I would suggest to you this. If you look at yourself and you realize that as a member of the body of Christ, you're not doing very much, the chances are pretty good you're dropping off in your functioning as one of the members. Don't let that happen. Because the body is not whole unless all of the members are working together and are playing a part. And we know from other passages that we can be removed as a member of the body of Christ if we cease to accept direction from the head. So may we be careful and examine the role that we play, search for the instructions that are coming from the head, Jesus Christ, and seek to put those things into place within our lives to the very best of our ability. The third thing I would suggest to you is that as members of this body, the body of Christ, we have a responsibility to grow. I want you to turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. In Ephesians chapter 4, I want you to begin reading with me in verse 11. And we see, I think, some description here that will help us as we ponder this point. In Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 11, talking about the church, he says this, and it's interesting as you go back to the first part of chapter 4, he's talked about unity. He's talked about the idea of working together and being united in the cause of Jesus Christ. As you go to chapter 4, verse 11, he says this, "And he gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effect of working by which he every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love." What did he say? He said part of our responsibility as members of the body of Christ is for us to unite ourselves together and to grow in our service and acceptance of direction, as it were, from the head, Jesus Christ. Now, how does that happen? I think he points out two things. Number one, it happens by us working together. That's the idea of unity. It's the idea of us working towards those common goals, searching the Scriptures together, understanding what he would have us to do together. And if we will do that, and if we will pursue that, then we will find ourselves growing and progressing in the cause of Christ, in the church, in the body. We will find it as it grows and develops. It'll do that in a couple of ways. Number one, it'll grow and develop as we grow and develop in our own knowledge and understanding. As we learn more and study more and are progressing, we will be more effective in what we do as individuals, members of the body of Christ. But also as we grow and progress and we begin to talk to others about this body of Jesus Christ, that Christ, of which Christ is the head, and we explain to them what it's about, and we begin to teach, and we go in search of those who are lost, well, they will also come to the body of Christ and be added to it. And so not only do we see growth on our part as individuals in causing growth to the body, but we will see growth of the body of Christ in regards to other people who will come and want to be a part of it as well. And so we look and we see that we all must do our part. The whole body is edified as a result of us searching and working together towards those common goals. And so we must examine ourselves and make sure we are doing what we can in our pursuit of the kingdom of Christ. The other way that that happens in regards to our growth, as he points out here, is by us focusing on Christ. We look to him and to him alone. We don't seek our own opinions. We don't seek man-made advice. We don't seek to follow some organization. We seek to follow the head and only the head. One of the things that I think is happening in the Church of Jesus Christ as we consider those of us who are gathered on this earth at this present time is we see things that are beginning to divide us, and we're finding ourselves rallying around human-made organizations that in many cases have nothing to do with the head. They may be teaching things that come from the Bible. But if we find ourselves gathering and rallying around a human organization, and we find ourselves as loyal to that as we are to the body of Christ, we make a tragic mistake. Our loyalty is to no human organization. Our loyalty is to Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. Our loyalty is not to some school. Our loyalty is not to some paper. Our loyalty is not to some college. Our loyalty is to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Our loyalty is to the head, and the head is Jesus Christ. And if I find myself gathering behind a rallying cry other than the body of Christ, other than that of the head, I'm gathering behind the wrong cause. And so I must seek direction from him and from him alone. And I look into his word to see what he would have me to do. And I focus on him. I seek to be pleasing to him and to him alone. And men may reject me. Other supposed members of the body of Christ may cast me aside. But if I am looking to the head and I am seeking direction from him and I am following that direction to the best of my ability, seeking his forgiveness when I fall short, then I will be accepted by him no matter what men may do to me. And so we must seek to put him first. Come to a knowledge of who he is, the life that he lived, measuring ourselves not by a human standard, but measuring ourselves by the standard set by Jesus Christ as the Son of God, as he walked on this earth, and now by God has been placed in the position of being head over the body, over his body, the one from whom we receive our instruction. I would suggest to you that as we consider these ideas, they are ideas that in many ways are tremendously important to those of us who are sitting here. As I said at the beginning, most of us are Christians. We far outweigh those sitting here who may not be. And so we're a part of this body. I want to challenge you to examine your function in the body of Christ. Not necessarily as a member of Pepper Road. There are people here who aren't members at Pepper Road.
examine it as a member of the body of Jesus Christ. As one who has dedicated yourself to Him. It goes so far beyond just some acceptance of a local group such as this. It goes to acceptance by the God of heaven. You may be accepted by a group like this, but you may find yourself rejected as a member of the body of Jesus Christ. What a tragedy that would be. God will make the final decision. God is the one who looks down and sees the heart. He is the one who is examining whether we are truly following the direction of the head. May we realize what a tremendously important thing that is. And so may we respect Christ as our head. May we seek direction from Him and Him alone. May we realize that as part of that body, we have an important role to play. Don't shirk your role. Realize that it's significant. No matter how seemingly in your eyes insignificant it may be. And finally, realize that we must be growing. We must be progressing. And we're going to do that. We're going to do that by working together and by focusing on Jesus Christ and on Jesus Christ alone. It's a challenge to those of us who are Christians. It's a challenge that we must accept, that we must take up, and we must go from here, striving to do all that we can as members of the body of Jesus Christ. This is a topic that you could probably present countless numbers of lessons on. It's a concept that is tremendously important, I think, for us to understand as members of that body. But if we come to understand that, it's also important to come to understand how we get into that relationship with God. We get into that relationship with God because Christ was willing to die for us and provide a sacrifice we could not provide for ourselves. He shed His blood. And so now we can come to God through Him. And as we repent of our sins and confess our faith in Him as the Son of God and are baptized for our sins to be washed away, as we come up from baptism, we find ourselves, just as those people on the day of Pentecost, we find ourselves then added to that body. And that's the day that our function in that body begins. We're a member, as it were. And then we progress from there. And that's when all of these other things that we've talked about tonight come into play. They're so important. They're so significant. Don't fail to realize the tremendous importance of your function in the body of Jesus Christ. If you desire to come and be a part of that body, we invite you to come now as we stand up and as we sing.